For those who doubt the Bible, let's remember that it's inspired by God, as we hear in a comment to begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse with our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
So now you have the scripture that is inspired, because Paul told Timothy, all scripture, not some or a few of them, all scripture is inspired by God. And so it's through this simple little gathering of words in all the languages of the world that you can sit down and read, and supernaturally the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind and your reasoning and your thinking, your critical thinking process, and you're able to understand. And all of a sudden, lifetime thinking patterns become either erased or restructured so that you see the truth.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Today's study on CNV is part of our current in-depth survey of the Book of Romans. This book is recognized as the Apostle Paul's masterpiece, a work that unlocks the door to vast treasures of Scripture. Paul had various things in mind in writing this letter. Among them was his desire to tell the Roman Christians of his plan to visit them and enlist their support. The book unfolds in a progressive way, shining God's light on the evil of pagan nations, the self-righteous heart, and eventually the whole world outside of Christ. The six A's of walking with Christ, that's our subject on Chapter and Verse. So let's turn to the seventh chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans and join Mike for today's lesson.
You may be seated and turn to Romans chapter 7. Now, we looked at this portion last week, and we're going to do a overview of it because of the verse that we're going to look at. That is so profound, and not to have the background would be kind of sad. And that verse is the first verse of chapter 8. But we want to go back a few verses. And I'd like you to read out loud together with me in unison verse 1 of chapter 8, because this is a tremendous promise to you, and you need to grab this. It'll change your life forever. If you're a person that's under a lot of guilt and you wish you could have had a second chance at life, especially, or you've made mistakes and so you feel condemned, this verse is the great key to get out of prison. Let's read it out loud together. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One more time. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just pause on that for a moment. Think of your own life. Something you just wish it wasn't there and it hadn't happened that way. You do not have to carry the burden of that. Jesus took it on the cross. It's an amazing thought. There is no condemnation. God has no idea in his mind of condemning you. If Jesus is your Savior, and notice that little word in for those that are in Christ Jesus, he loves you. And yet many people go their entire life thinking that God hates them or God is mad at them. Or the worst one is that they have failed God. There's no test that God's having you take. So there's no way you can fail God. If you will see that your humanity is lost and without a Savior, then God's love just covers it all, because he put all your guilt and the actions that caused the guilt upon his Son and has no record, once you accept him, of what you did. So the law was the struggle for Paul. He told us in chapters 5 and 6 leading up to chapter 7. He told us about this struggle that goes on inside and how that there's no way for any human to get rid of this struggle. There's no doctor you can go to or medicine you can take or an injection or a shot and get rid of sin. We are born into sin. Every human has sin. That's why there's death on this planet. So he cries out like all of us, Lord, We pray that you would take these few short verses that we've already gone over, and those that are on the internet, in the overflow rooms, listening on the radio, that they would feel the power of your release from the guilt of sin. We pray for us here in the gymnasium that you would just make this so real to us. If we didn't grasp it or note it last week, that we will understand where Paul was leading, that he needed a Savior. And there is no one or there's no religion, as he was an expert in religion, that can deliver him from sin. And we cannot say thank you enough for Jesus. I wish that we would all be so free that we could just shout out and just weep in gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Lord, would you just not only comfort our hearts, but break our hearts that we could be tender in your sight, and you could just know that we love you and we accept the way you have done things. So we release into your hands our past. We reckon that old sinful nature to be dead. We take account that he's dead in your eyes. And though our flesh is very strong in our bodies, you have given us the spirit that is even stronger, that will conquer these things in our lives. So, Father, accept our thank yous right now for the blessings that you have so freely given to each of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I've got six letter A's for you that we're going to just use for a memory. In verses 4 through 14, he gave us the information about the old human nature before you became a Christian. And being a Christian isn't just switching a religion. It's asking Jesus to actually come live inside of you. And when he lives inside of you, he begins talking to you by his word. And he would never, ever, you'd never get an inclination that it's God's will for you to do something if it's non-biblical. So now you have the scripture that is inspired, because Paul told Timothy, all scripture, not some or a few of them, all scripture is inspired by God. And so it's through this simple little gathering of words in all the languages of the world that you can sit down and read, and supernaturally the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind and your reasoning and your thinking, your critical thinking process, and you're able to understand. And all of a sudden, lifetime thinking patterns become either erased or restructured so that you see the truth. The lie that is perpetrated all over our planet is so subtle that you can't pinpoint it all the time. And it takes a lifetime to be able to put all the little pinpoints together and get pictures. So the more you read the Bible, the more he takes the scale off your eyes and the more that you can see. So here we have verse 14, 4 through 14, if you want to write it down just for memory. He gave us information about our old nature. In verses 4 through 6, which I will read right now with you, he gave us our association with Christ. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did not work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, this Easter week that's coming up, and this whole time is starting tomorrow, the first time, I can't tell you how long in years, but I was going to school up in Orange County, and the students were telling me about this great church to go to, and I said, I don't go to church. And on my birthday, Sandy and I had still been divorced for 2 years at this time, and she invited me to come have a birthday cake with David and Mindy, our oldest children. And I thought that was great. So I had my, they call him a labadoodle now. He was part lab and part doodle. And he was a big guy, curly guy. And his name was Arnold. And Arnold smoked pot. And he'd go to parties and he'd smoke pot. He was a party animal. And He got a little strange from doing that, and I've repented of that many, many times. So Arnold was in my 48 Buick Woody, and we went to Calvary Chapel. I didn't know what that was, but I knew that a lot of the students were going there. The Jesus Movement had started, built for 300 people, 1,500 people per service, one service, two services, three services, four on Sunday mornings. And they had this prophetic night talking about the end of the age that Chuck Smith was teaching. So on my birthday, I stopped and told Arnold to stay in the car. And I went in, and there was a lady that was vacuuming the carpet. And I thought, well, this is a pretty small place for all the people I hear that go here. And it was just a little chapel with pews in it, and it didn't feel religious. And I saw an open Bible up at the top of the steps, about four steps up to the altar, I called it. And I walked up, and I knelt down, and I read the verses, and I prayed on March 26, 1970, God, if you're real, you know that I've looked for you for many years. And I just don't want to have to do the things I've done before to find you. If you're real, I want to know you. And little did I know that God would take me from that prayer and honor that prayer. And when I got back to the parking lot, there was nobody around, but Arnold was going nuts. He was jumping front seat, back seat, can't see his face at all. He's just all hair. Something was going on. I think he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and became a Pentecostal labadoodle. Something happened to him. I have no idea. So I started to back up. I put it in reverse, and the brakes were locked. For some reason, the brakes locked. So I got a wrench and a pair of pliers, and I got underneath the old Woody, and I started pounding and turning things, and I could not get it loose. But at the same time, Arnold would jump out of the driver's window down and come underneath the car with me. And then I'd say, back, and he'd jump back in the window. And then he'd jump out of the window. And I thought, what is going on here? And God was trying to keep me there. And little did I know that my whole life would change there. And Arnold's life definitely changed there. But it was at this time that I went back at an evening service during spring break. And Easter break, as we called it in those days. The re-engineering social people have changed it to spring break. I gave my heart to Jesus at this time. And I've never been the same man since that time, at this time of the year. So I love this time of the year. I love it because it's spring and things are starting to bud forth and there's no rain anywhere. It's sunshiny, it's warm, it's great. The first thing that we saw in verse 4 to 14 was our association with Christ. And I used to be embarrassed to even think about being tagged a Christian. But the association of Christ was found in verse 4 through 6 that we studied. But now we, verse 6, are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The second A that Paul wanted to get across to us under the heading of information about our old nature, that we would remember our old nature, that there are two natures. There's a new nature. You've been born again. There's the old nature. And so the old nature has been put down by the new nature. But when we get away from God and we walk further in the world, that old nature gets stronger. The neon lights get the eyeballs going, you know, and then the saliva starts moving when your old nature sees things it used to like to do. But you have an advocate with the Father that you can stop and pray. And you can ask God to help you in your weakness. And the Bible teaches us that in our weakness, God is strong. So now I don't have to fight at being me. I don't have to struggle of trying to be somebody or accepted by anybody. I don't have to prove myself to anybody else, let alone myself. I have died in Jesus Christ, and therefore I have resurrected in Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us the power to overcome that weak old nature. So the second thing, once we get this association, he showed us in verse 7 through 11, the aggression of sin against us. The aggression of sin against us. Follow me in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law. You see, once the thou shall nots, the Ten Commandments came, there was no law that was written. And so Paul the Apostle said, without the law, I didn't know that I was guilty. I didn't know I was speeding until the officer pulled me over. We've all used that one. It doesn't work, though. But once the law stops you, then you're arrested. And the law has arrested many of us in our sins, and we got trapped or we got caught, and that which we shouldn't do, we did. And so the officer, the arresting officer, the Holy Spirit, protects us sometimes. Somebody in law enforcement this morning sent me a cam on the dash of the police car, the trooper's car, going Colorado, and it was snowing, and his point was that people just don't know how close they are to eternity. There was a van in front of him, a family van, and a big truck, and a couple other cars, and he was moving along at the speed of traffic. They were a couple hundred yards ahead of him, but all of a sudden, that family van hit a piece of black ice, and they swung sideways and went into the other lane at the same time. A semi-truck was coming at full speed, and it just, there was nothing left. When it hit, the car was pieces. And the point was driven well home that we don't know what the devil has planned, but we know who can thwart his plans and who has already destroyed his plans, and that he can do nothing to you or your family unless the Lord allows it. That's one of the greatest truths that we learn as a Christian. That's like a extended warranty on your car or your home. That in the old days, you were out in the open, and he could snipe at you all the time and hurt you and bring you into bad relationships and just break your will down and get you doing things with your mind and your body that you would never really think you would do. But you have been so hurt and so battered that you now become like a puppet for him. Your flesh now is under control of the world. And that's what the world wants you to do, is to think like. They want to put you through their indoctrination centers. They want you to view their indoctrination box and all the programming that goes in it. And so you think like everybody else, and all of a sudden a rebel stands up in a little unknown place called Israel. A little carpenter's son is born in Bethlehem, and he grows up and starts healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and he even went as far as to raise people from the dead, old and young. And hope came to the planet. Those that sat in darkness saw a great light. So the devil, knowing, he immediately told Herod, kill him. So when the wise men came, you didn't think you'd get a Christmas story just before Easter, did you? So when the wise men came, they went to him innocently and said, we've seen a star. And of course, Herod didn't want another star on his stage. And he said, well, when you find him, bring me the report. I'd like to go worship him too, which was a lie. And so God spoke to the three wise men, and they left. And they didn't go back to Herod. And Herod got angry. So he said, kill all the male children, 2 years old and younger. Kill all the babies, all the little boys, 2 years and under. And the Romans did that. He couldn't stop Jesus. You think of the Purim, the Jewish holiday. It reminds us of the book of Esther, the only book in the Bible that does not have the name God in it. Never is he mentioned, but you see him working through government officials. Now that would be a miracle in our government, to see him move quickly and righteously. So we come to this place that all through the Old Testament, and Paul was an expert on the Old Testament, that the Jewish people were always attacked and defeated until somebody like King David came along. He was courageous and fearless. But God is very, very nice to let us see his flesh, the old nature. He was an adulterer. He even went as far as murder to allow the husband, Uriah, of Bathsheba, to be killed at his order to the general in charge of the battle, that he wanted sex so badly to kill another man, did not bother him at all. That shows us that his flesh, his old nature, was still mighty strong, even though God gave him the power as a boy to kill a giant with a slingshot. So there are no perfect people on planet Earth. That's got to be a foundation that you can relax and release into God's hands all the things that hold you back from being totally free. So God shows us all the great men of the Bible, and before they die, he always lets us see, look, they weren't perfect. I had to reprove them. Elisha, the great prophet. Elijah, all of them. God is the only one perfect. So as we see our association with Christ, we see that there's an aggression of sin against you. In verse 7, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but for this law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. The law brought it to light. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin was revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Boy, that's a good one to memorize and underline it. Deceived me, and by it, it slew me. It just chopped me up. Sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me. It'll never tell you the truth. And it may lead you down a wrong road or path for years. And you'll go 5 years into a relationship and find out that your boyfriend has been cheating on you all 5 years. And then you get crushed, or your partner's been stealing, and you've trusted and you've gone 10 years in business, and all of a sudden you have to file bankruptcy. You know, God is watching all these things. But because he gave you free will, he does not intervene. He lets you make your decisions. And hopefully, somewhere along the line, the younger, the better, that you cry out to God and you ask him to save you. You've been beat up and you've been set back so many times by lust or anger or bitterness or covetousness. And you just cry out and God says, I've been here all along. And I know, like myself, you can look back in your lives and you can think of times when it, you know, you shouldn't have made it. I can remember one summer with a bunch of kids from high school, and we were at the river, Clackamas River, up in outside of Portland, and we started wading across the river, and all of a sudden the water started rising to our chest, and we could barely make it, and we're leaning into the water, and we forgot they had opened the dam. And so the water was just pouring through, and we didn't think we were going to make it. I can remember a night of being in a car showing off, drag racing on a busy street that wasn't busy, but four lane. And just as we pulled over to win the race, two other cars' headlights were half a block away from us. I hit the brakes, but it spun us out. And the four of us in the car, there wasn't a pin that could drop that would make an ounce of noise. We were going towards a mobile station, sideways. And we were headed to go right up and slam into the pumps. There was no stopping it. And somehow, we slid right up. And we hit the concrete at the base of the gas pumps, and the car rocked back and forth, and it stopped, and we didn't hit the pumps like we should have, and it didn't explode. We didn't say a thing. Slowly, we opened the doors, and everybody climbed out of the back and the front. We went all over that neighborhood and sat on the curb for a half hour in different areas on this street and never talked to each other because we knew we should have died. You can go back in your life, and you can find these things that, you know, you were somehow miraculously delivered from it.
That's Mike McIntosh pointing out the important principles of walking with Christ. Once again, I'd like to remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, easy, and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. You can now take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available now at MikeMacintosh.com. Also, be sure to check out our new YouTube page. It's Chapter and Verse Radio. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Join us next time when our text will continue to be the Book of Romans. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.